Hi, I'm Mark DeMoss, one of the teaching pastors at the Mosaic Church of Central Arkansas, located in the University District of Little Rock's Urban Center, 72204. Welcome to our podcast. Founded in the summer of 2001, Mosaic is a multi-ethnic and economically diverse church where significant percentages of black and white Americans, together with men and women from more than 25 nations, walk, work, and worship God together as one. Learn more at mosaicchurch.net.
The following message was recorded live at Mosaic as part of the Elements series in the spring of 2024. Thanks for listening.
Well, good morning, Mosaic. My name's Lawrence. For those who haven't had a chance to meet before, I'm one of the pastors here at Mosaic. And about once a month or so, I get a chance to stand up here and just to share a little bit of God's word. And I'm certainly thankful to be able to do that on this day, Sunday, April the 14th. This has been such a great worship experience. Amen. Amen. It has been awesome, awesome, awesome. So I'm going to, because God is doing so many things today, I'm not going to rush, but I'm going to leave space for God to continue to do what he does. Amen. Amen. So this word that we have today, this new series that Pastor Mark kicked off last week, Elements, the spiritual disciplines of a Christ-centered life. In this series, we're going back to the basics. That's why we call it elements, because elements make up the very basics of life as we know it here on earth. And as we step through a few things here, you know, we're using classical elements that we know in nature and we know in the physical to talk about our spiritual disciplines that we want to exude as followers of Christ. So in this next slide that we see here, we see the classical elements, earth, wind, and fire. Do you remember? Water and space, or the ether. And these elements represent the spiritual disciplines that we're going to be talking about in this series. So on the next slide, you'll see that we are talking about inward disciplines, meditation, prayer, fasting, study that Pastor Mark taught on last week. And then on the next slide, you see the outward disciplines, simplicity, solitude, submission, and service that we're going to talk about on today. And then there are corporate disciplines that we practice as a local body, as the entire body of Christ. It's not just here at Mosaic, but those corporate disciplines are confession, worship, guidance, celebration, and many of those we're doing right here today as we speak. So these disciplines, or this discipline that we're talking about today, the discipline of service, this is one that really, and when I first, we were in a teaching meeting, and I kind of raised my hand, and was like, hey, Lawrence, which one you want to do? Oh, I'll take service. I can do that. I was in the service, you know, kind of thing. But as I started to study, God brought out so much to me that I did not realize about service. And we're using the element of sky to represent service, because service symbolizes the outworking of a Christ-centered life evidenced by bearing fruit and being a good witness of Jesus Christ, outworking. So just as the sky is the outward expression of God's glory and majesty, our service that we render to God and to others is the outward expression of our faith. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, there should be some outward expression of your inward faith. Amen? Amen. We had four individuals this morning who provided an outward expression of their inward faith through baptism. And that is evidence. And we should all provide some evidence that we are followers of Christ in our lives. You know, Jesus told his disciples, he said in John 13, by this everyone will know they are my disciples if you love one another. So there had to be some outward expression. You just can't keep it in to yourself. It's got to be an outward expression. So Jesus said in this case, it's going to be love. And then in Matthew 7, he also told him as he was teaching, he said, you will know a tree by what? The fruit it bears. The fruit it bears. So we should be bearing some type of fruit so that the world knows what type of tree we are. knows that we are followers of Christ. What kind of fruit are you talking about, Brother Lawrence? Love, joy, peace, meekness, kindness, all those things. The fruit of the Spirit. The world should be able to see these outward expressions of our inward faith. Now, I know some of us say, well, it sounds like you're judging if you're talking about what kind of fruit, you know, you're looking at fruit. No, we're not judging people, but we're being fruit inspectors. Right now, you are commissioned by the USDA Department of Agriculture to be a fruit inspector. So go around, check some trees, see what kind of fruit they're bearing or not bearing. So you can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. You can also tell a lot about a tree about the fruit it's not bearing. Because it can be an apple tree and not have any apples, but that ain't much good for anything. I'm getting off my subject here. Let me keep going. But why should we serve? God created us to be here. Why don't we just enjoy life and move on about things on our daily, you know, that's on our daily schedules? Why should we serve? We serve because God created us to serve. From the beginning, God, the God of the universe, the God over all heaven and earth, the God, the eternal, all-wise, all-knowing God made you to serve. We were made in his image, so there is something about God creating us to serve that actually shows us something about God himself. God is a God of tremendous activity, so when he created, as we're going to see here in a moment, when he created heaven and earth, when he created man, there was something that God wanted man to do that reflected something about God himself. So let's look at that real quick. Genesis chapter 2, starting with verse 4. And it says, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work or to till the ground. So God had created all this goodness, being heavens and earth, the sky, and everything, had separated the light from darkness and done all these things, but he was still waiting to bring vegetation up on the earth, to do all these other things until he had a man on the earth to work or to till the ground. And I went back and looked at that word work or that word till, and it was pretty interesting because that word comes from a Greek word. I'm not Greek, but a Hebrew word, avad. It's spelled kind of, if we were to spell it in English, it would be A-B-A-D, as you see there on the screen. That's the Strong's reference there, 5647. But the primary use of this word in the scriptures, it means to serve. So the first thing that God did when he created man was he made man to serve. He made man to labor. He made man to tend to or to take care of things. So this shows us a lot about God's intention for Adam, and not only Adam, but us. To work or to till, avod, to serve, to labor, to tend. And this word is used about 290 times throughout the scriptures. So now that we understand a little bit about God's intention, let's look a little bit further in that same chapter of Genesis 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man, put him in the garden of Eden to work it and keep it. So God put Adam there. This man was Adam. God created him from the dust of the ground, breathed life into his nostrils. Man became a living soul. And God took him, placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it. So it means he put him there to serve and also to keep it. And it's interesting that that word keep in the Hebrew is shamar, which means to protect. So in essence, Adam was the first person that God gave law enforcement duties to because he was to protect. And he was to serve. And then from the beginning, that's the way God set it up. And notice something. Before God gave him a wife, before he gave him a family, before he gave him children, God gave Adam a job and he gave him a home. You hear me? young folks, people with daughters that you may be hoping to get married off. God gave Adam a job and he gave him a home before he gave him a wife and children. There's a lot to say about that. That's the way God designed and set things up. And I'm not, you know, I'm up here, I'm the pot calling the kettle black because I had kids before I was really ready for kids, and it works. But don't make it harder on yourself than it needs to be. That's all I'm saying. So that's the way God set it up. Throughout the scripture, there are examples that we can look to of men and women serving God. There was Adam, there was Eve, there's the priests, the Levites from the tribe of Levi in the Old Testament that served God. And the New Testament in Acts chapter 6, the first deacons were chosen to serve in the early church. And there, so there's over and over, there's examples of men and women who were called by God to serve him and to serve others. So why should we serve? Because when you think about that word serve, a lot of us think of the word servant. And when you think of the word servant, you kind of think that you're being less than if you're serving. You're below some people. But as it says here, serving does not make you less than anyone else. As a matter of fact, it actually makes you more like Jesus. Serving does not make you less than anyone else. It actually makes you more like Jesus. So how, Brother Lawrence? Well, let's look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20. I believe it was John and James' mom came to Jesus and said, "Hey, you know, when you get into your kingdom, won't you let one of my sons, who's your disciple right now, sit on your left hand, one sit on your right hand?" And Jesus told her, said, "No, you don't know what you're asking for, because the kind of service that is going to be required from me, I don't know if they can handle it." And I'm paraphrasing what he says. But then in verse 26, he says, "But whoever would be great among you must be your what? Servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave or bond servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So over and over in the New Testament, Jesus gives us the greatest example of what it means to serve. We know he gave his life. He gave his life on the cross. He rose again three days later on the third day. But even before that, he served the people day in, day out. He was healing. He was delivering. He fed the multitudes with two fish, five loaves of bread. He washed his disciples' feet. He showed us these great examples of serving. And I love this quote that Martin Luther King said, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He says, "Everybody can be great because everybody can serve." Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. A soul generated by love. I tell you, I found out many of you know that I spent 25 years in the United States Air Force. And, retired 2017 in the rank of colonel. But from the day that I came in 1992 up until I retired in 2017, I learned something about serving. And I learned that the more rank that I received, the more rank that was bestowed up on me, the higher the requirement to serve. It wasn't because, you know, when I was a colonel, I had a secretary, but the secretary wasn't there to serve me. Sometimes I felt like I was working for the secretary because she was setting up my schedule and I was just going where she told me to go. Doing what the first sergeant told me to do, doing what my senior enlisted manager told me to do. But the higher I got in rank, the more I was called to serve. I remember in 1996, I was a lieutenant right here at Little Rock Air Force Base. They came to me on a Sunday afternoon and said, "Lawrence, get your bags packed and be back here at base ops and get on this plane. It's leaving in 2 hours." I'm like, "What? Where are we going?" "We'll tell you when we get there." So I packed my bags, left my family with 2 hours' notice. I was learning something about service. 1999, I'm on the island of Guam, stationed at Anderson Air Force Base. Get out of church on a Sunday afternoon. Get called into a meeting in the command post. They said all the civil war breaking out in Indonesia. We're going to have to send a peacekeeping force down there. Like, when are we leaving? They said, we don't know, but it may be tomorrow, maybe the next day. This was Sunday. On a Thursday, we were headed out on a plane. Left my family again for months. Called to serve. So I learned a lot about serving, because serving comes with sacrifice, comes with serving. And that's what Jesus was trying to get the disciples' mother here in this case and others to realize, that there is some sacrifice that comes with serving. And the higher you get in position, a lot of times, the more you have to sacrifice. Pastor Harry and Pastor Mark have sacrificed for over 20 years. You know, just call it, you know, senior pastor, directional leader. Yeah, that's a title. All that means is that you serve more. Because there are Sundays when I guarantee you, because I feel it myself, I wish I could just come to church, sit in the back, and then just leave. But that's not what we are called to do here. As pastors, as leaders, as whatever we do, ushers, deacons, all that we do here at Mosaic, it calls for more than that. So don't think that getting higher in position that people are going to automatically be able to serve you. No, it just means that you being called to serve even more. So real quick, how do we serve? We serve God himself. We serve each other. We serve God with our worship and devotion. We serve his purposes in our lives by lining up our lives with his will. We serve him with faithful and obedience to his word. We serve each other through ministry and leadership, as we do a lot here at Mosaic. Acts of charity and compassion, you know, helping those who can't help themselves. And also service to others just by putting someone ahead of your own self. Just by likening someone else, you know, their needs greater than your needs. That is the way that we serve. So you're sitting there right now, and I heard somebody over there saying, somebody asking, Brother Lawrence, where can I serve? I heard you say it. I heard it right back there. And somebody over here said, me too. I want to know where I can serve. Well, let's look at where you can serve. Look at this next slide here. We need you. We need you to help with this. Kurt Blankenship posted this yesterday. I believe Pastor Mark put this all together. But now that construction is finished back here in the back, now that we have a new kitchen, new bathrooms, new showers, now we need some folks to man this thing. Let's figure out how to meet these needs for our unsheltered neighbors. So we need people to help us with laundry. We're going to have a laundry facility back here. We need people to come in once a week or so and take in laundry, wash it, dry it, fold it. That's not me, because I don't even do my own laundry. I'll throw it in the wash, and then it ends up in a basket sitting beside the bed. And then we need people to man the showers, just to help to schedule the showers, help to, you know, give people some soap and a towel, and just to, you know, welcome them in and help them to, because some, you know, sometimes this may be the only hot shower some of them get for days and weeks at a time. And we're going to offer that here at Mosaic. And then the kitchen, we're going to use the kitchen hopefully to prepare and serve hot meals. I can't imagine living out. I can't imagine it, because I've done it before. I've lived out, you know, on deployment without a hot meal. And when you finally get one, it is so soothing to your soul. It's so good. So that's what we hope to do. And you can just hook up with Kurt. Kurt, wave your hand. You can hook up with Kurt, and Kurt will gladly take you in, put you on a roster, and get you working in this area. Next slide. Here's another place you can serve, with our CPR Chess Club. Yes, critical thinking. Yes, our award-winning chess club. Critical thinking, problem solving, and reading. That is what we teach our kids here every single week. And Miss Georgia Morris needs some people to serve with her. She has been serving for years faithfully. Our chess club has done so well. They have won local tournaments, city tournaments, international tournaments. And we still need people to help serve our children. You don't have to know how to play chess. Miss Georgia didn't know how to play chess when she started this thing. and she's doing just fine. All right, next slide. None of those fit you? We got a lot of stuff. A lot of places you can serve. Throw a dart and hit any of that. ESL. We have language classes. English as a second language. You don't even have to know how. You don't have to know any other languages. English, come and help us on Tuesdays to teach others English, where English is a second language. Our kids. All you have to do to work with the kids, besides passing a background check, you just got to be able to count to 10 and break the ground crackers on the line. If you can do that, you can work with the kids. MSM, that's our students. Our students need, our student ministry is growing by leaps and bounds, and we need help in that area. We need people to serve. Soul sisters, young adults, tables, missions, the tech team, all these places. Find somewhere to serve in this church. Please do. That is the heart of God. This is the heart of God, what we're doing right here. So make sure. Make sure that you are serving. Make sure that you are serving in these areas. Make sure that you are serving in these areas. Next slide. That was supposed to be a cue. Make sure that you are serving. Make sure that you're serving God. Make sure that you are serving your family. Make sure that you are serving your church. Don't get those twisted out of order, please. Don't come trying to serve the church if you haven't served your family. Sometimes family is all the serving that we got in us. If you got toddlers, if you got young kids, that may be all the serving that you can do on any day or any given week. And we understand that. We have been there. Serve your family. Raise up some godly young men and women. Do that. The church is going to be fine. And then when you get them kids out of the house like me and Liz have, they're still on our payroll, but they out the house. Then come back and serve God with fullness, serve this church. And also this the thing I like about it is here at Mosaic, you can serve the church and serve the community at the same time. A lot of what we do serves our community. And sometimes that community is right around here on our campus where we're serving those who live in and around us. Sometimes it's a little bit further in that it's serving people in our zip code. And sometimes it's the entire city. Sometimes it's the entire state. Sometimes it's the entire world, as you can see out in the town hall with our missions team. So make sure that you are serving. And then the last thing here, your season of serving, and this is important. Recognize what season you are in and adjust your service accordingly. Like I said, if you have young kids at home, if you have elderly parents that you're taking care of, sometimes that is your service. You are serving others. And in doing that, you're serving God. You're honoring God, especially when you're taking care of your parents or your children or anyone else under your roof for that matter. So God wants you to serve. But your service at any given time is not going to look the same as someone else's. As a matter of fact, your service may not look the same month to month and year to year. And just as physical seasons change, so do the seasons of your life and the seasons of your service. New parents, parents with teenagers, older parents with grown children, those are all different seasons of life. So recognize where you are in your season and adjust your service accordingly. And now as we get ready to wrap this up, as I love to do oftentimes, I love to see how God starts something and see how he ends it. We looked earlier at Genesis chapter 2, where God created man, put him in the garden to serve. Now let's look what God has outlined for us to do in eternity future. And to Revelation chapter 7, and this is John writing. He had this vision of what was going to be going on in eternity future. And this is what John saw. He said, after this, I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Verse 11, and all the angels were standing around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, who are these clothed in white robes and from where have they come? I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Then here's the part that I love. Verse 15, therefore they are before the throne of God and what? Serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. So the same way God started this thing is the same way he's going to end it, with us serving him. He has created us to serve. And the fact that his son, Jesus Christ, gave us the greatest example, it also gave us a way to be a part of this great worship service in the future. And I hope that you will be there. I hope that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you haven't, there's a prayer team at the back that will be happy to talk with you, counsel with you, and share more about the saving grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Mosaic, we love you. And we hope that we can continue to serve alongside you as we serve each other and serve our God. Amen. God bless you.
I hope you were encouraged and challenged by today's message recorded live at Mosaic Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. Take a moment right now to subscribe on your favorite platform and get our podcasts pushed right to your device each week. We welcome your comments. If you live in Central Arkansas, we hope you'll visit us soon in person. And thanks also for considering our financial needs. To donate, visit mosaicchurch.net. That's mosaicchurch.net. On behalf of all of us at Mosaic, I'm Mark DeMoss. Thanks again for listening.